everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos. On IG, email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. Wow. How is everybody doing? Great.
Lovely.
Good.
Good. Good. All right. So it is one of our favorite things to talk about, which is what's hot on TV and movies and media, whatever. So we are going to be talking about one of the hottest shows that has come to Netflix.
Ever.
The Queen's Ever. Gambit. Just kidding.
I was like, what? No, we're not. No, we're not.
That's a really good show.
We should be talking about The Queen's Gambit, but we are not talking about The Queen's Gambit because, like, that's been in top 10 for, like...
That's true. That's fair.
I mean...
For a while.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about Bridgerton! So... Kika sounds excited, so Kika's gonna lead the episode.
What?
Go forth!
You didn't tell me that. I'm just kidding. So yes, I will be leading today's episode on Bridgerton. If you have not watched it, you don't know about it, you might want to stop listening right now because we're about to completely ruin and give all kinds of spoilers. But it's a great show, so you should go check it out. It is based on a series of best-selling novels by Julia Quinn, and Shonda Rhimes and her production company have picked up the depiction on it on TV through her $100 million partnership with Netflix. Shout out to her. She secures the bag, boy. But it is a romance that's set during the social season of the Regency of London, with a twist. Adding black royalty and aristocrats in this 19th century British setting. The plot focuses on the Bridgerton family, which is the mom, who is a widow, and her 8 children. Daphne, who's the oldest, is entering into like the marriage market, and which, for those who don't know, social season was basically a period of time of about a couple months in the summer and sometimes in the late winter or early winter, where socialites, royalty, aristocrats would come from the country in town to basically just have a bunch of parties and balls and mingle with each other. And there was a period where eligible women would try and find their mate. And so that's where the show is set in. So Daphne, who's trying to get married off, links up with the Duke of Hastings, Simon Bassett, to help her get pursued by some top prospects. They kind of do this little partnership. She's benefiting from it by getting pursued by top prospects so she could get married off. He's using it as a way to keep some the thirsty girls and their mamas away, so they not trying to, you know, marry him off because he ain't trying to get married off. Yes, this is the little spin take on it, but that's basically what's happening. So what are y'all initial thoughts, like, just off top, once you finish watching it or watched up to a certain point, what were you like thinking about the show?
Okay. My first thoughts originally were that it was okay. That, I mean, I've definitely seen period dramas that were better, but I mean, it was okay. But I like that sort of television, so I enjoyed it. But knowing that it's one of the, it's in the top 5 most viewed shows on Netflix ever, like, I don't really know that it's worth all. I mean, it was entertaining for the period of time that I was watching it.
Yeah, I'm alone the same. Listen, now I don't be seeking out period dramas the way that Drea, Kika, hey, Camille, you like period dramas too, don't you?
Yeah.
Like period pieces. I don't intentionally seek those out, but I do enjoy them when they come across my algorithm. I didn't like this. Like, I did it.
Wow.
Really?
No,
I didn't. I feel like it was way too drawn out. This could have been done in like 4 episodes. And then you develop the story a little bit further in the other 4 episodes. I didn't like it.
Okay.
For me, I was looking for the hype. So I went watching the shows and I'm like, okay, this gonna be the episode. Yeah, okay, that's cute. This where is like I because everybody was watching it and everybody doesn't watch period pieces. Did I appreciate the black chocolates? I don't see them in period pieces much. You know, sometimes they had a servant girl, but I was like, oh, okay, we got some duchess, some queens, some. I appreciated that aspect, but it was all right. It wasn't bad, but it was all right.
And maybe this would have been better if it was like on TV, like on an ABC, NBC type thing. Mm-hmm. Not saying I would have watched it.
You would have watched it
after week. Nah, I probably would have dropped off. I probably wouldn't even have started it, to be honest. But for it to be on Netflix where I'm able to see every episode back to back to back, and I'm able to see, oh, this really ain't developing like the way I want it to develop. Mm. Oh, episode 4, it still ain't developing the way that I really wanted to develop. This episode was so drawn out. Like, why? Why?
Yeah. Well, she's learning. She used to the ABC life and the suspense, you know. She learning.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe it was good for people who ain't never seen no good, like,
period piece. Yeah. It's an intro to period piece. Like, period piece is like, I love
people who like Gossip Girl, because this was very Gossip Girly. Yeah.
I saw a comparison.
I actually like Gossip Girl.
I love Gossip Girl.
The whole thing. This was not as good as Gossip Girl.
No, it was not as good as Gossip Girl. I'm saying they added that little Gossip Girl twist to it with the newsletter thing. Like, and then the preview got me because I was like, oh, this is a Gossip Girl in the period piece.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was.
But the trailer was so much better than the actual series. Like, I was excited for some Gossip Girl back in the, you know, in the period piece. But no. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah. I agree. If you compare it directly to like Gossip Girl, which is essentially the modern day equivalent of it. Gossip Girl was so jam-packed with stuff. Like, you, within 3 episodes, somebody done, I don't know, moved away, came back, got hooked on drugs, went to rehab. They mama done lost all their money. Somebody else done got rich in like 3 episodes of Gossip Girl. So, I mean, yes, this was definitely more drawn out in a more, I would say, realistic manner. Gossip Girl is so extreme,
and I would think that time wasn't as like drama filled as like modern day.
I think it really was.
Yeah,
these people didn't even have real jobs. Like, drama and gossip.
Fair.
they're literally like planning. Like, if I do this, then folks won't be talking about this anymore. So that's let me go ahead and do this crazy thing. So they won't be absolutely. The only thing that's different, they didn't have social media. It's same that's thing.
Fair.
Though.
That's fair.
But if you think about the fact that Gossip Girl is more of a teenage drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like a teenager may watch Bridgerton and be like, oh, that was so good.
That's true.
But then they watch Gossip Girl and they be like, damn, Bridgerton sucks.
Which I liked it when I watched it, but I agree. I told Dre it was kind of like how Taco Bell ain't real Mexican food. It was kind of like that. Like, I love period pieces. One of my favorite period pieces is Pride and Prejudice. And I started to prepare for started Bridgerton again. And as I was watching, I was like, this is a very watered down version of Pride and Prejudice. Like, and it actually lost somewhat of the appeal that it had originally for me. And I honestly think it could have been a miniseries, because I feel like, what else we want? I don't want to know anything else. Like, I really don't care how you develop the rest of this storyline. I feel like you closed it. Ain't no suspense at the end of this episode for me, for real. You done told us who Lady Whistle what's her name?
Whistledown.
You done told us who she is. I don't care. Like,
and even if you didn't tell us, we knew who she was because it was blatantly pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But apparently the books are really good and it goes into the lives of all of the children.
Yeah, apparently, I agree. I've heard that too, that this is not very accurate to the books. Even though Julia Quinn did say that specifically for how the Queen was written. Is it the Queen? I think the Queen being portrayed as Black, she was really impressed by. Don't quote me on that. There's something that she was just like, shout out to Shonda. She's glad she did it. Can't remember off the top of my head. But we all kind of seem to be on the same page concerning that. Was there a favorite character as you were watching that you were like, I really like her?
Nah.
Nobody? Like, there was nobody that you were like, no one.
Maybe the little, what's her name? Penelope?
Which one? Redhead. That's the redhead.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is her name Penelope?
Look at you.
I like her. That's it. Because she was like the little outcast kind of like the little short little fat girl that, you know, but, you know, was a boss. So, you know.
No, I wouldn't say I had a favorite character.
Hmm. But I am.
Well, maybe that's a later conversation. Go ahead. I didn't have a favorite character.
Camille?
If I had to pick one, I'd pick Eloise.
Why?
I love that she just was so over everything. Like, she was just like, I don't want to do this. Why does this have to be? Like, she wanted to break out of her destiny. Now, is she going to be able to do that? Probably not. But I like the fact that she wanted to.
She thinks she can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Queen Charlotte and Lady Danbury.
But I like seeing the presences. I ain't like this.
Well, I like Queen Charlotte for the fact that they portrayed her as Black, because historically there are arguments that she was of Black descent. So the fact that she was portrayed as Black was dope. And them wigs were like amazing to me. I don't know why they were just so fascinating. And then Lady Danbury, just because of, I don't know, just some the way she carried herself was just super cool. And I love how she spoke life into Simon, like when he was a kid. Like, I was like, yo, that is dope. She kind of represented that, like, Black mama who got your back to me. So I like the both of them. Do y'all feel like in Shonda Rhimes' version of the 1800s, could you have lived in that time period?
Not if I had to wear no damn corset and if my soul purpose in life is to get married and bear children,
like, your whole existence was to get married. Like, you gotta play the piano to get married. She can paint. I gotta paint to get this.
Do the little needlework and shit. No.
Play the piano.
No, that ain't
for me.
Drea?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And also, I just think it's hard to imagine living in Shonda Rhimes'
version. It is.
I feel like it's so unrealistic. I can't even imagine. But I am curious to know. So I remember when, what's the name of that movie with that girl, Jennifer Lawrence, where she had the little bow and arrow.
Hunger Games.
Yeah. I remember when Rue in Hunger Games was Black and people was mad. But then people who read the book was like, did you read it? Because the way she's described in the book, she was Black, right? Mm-hmm. Were these people described as Black in the book, or Shonda Rhimes was just like, let me take some creative liberties?
I don't know. I ain't seen nothing about the people in the book being Black.
I highly doubt they was Black.
I can't imagine that they was Black.
I mean, they might have been, because honestly, this is basically fantasy.
That's true.
It's like when you watch movies about, like, if the Confederates had won in the Civil War.
Civil War, yeah.
Or if
Or like, Cookie, what's that show you was talking about where it was squids falling out the sky? I mean,
Watchmen.
TVH, yeah. This is the equivalent of that. It's just blatantly unrealistic. So it's just like, if you're existing solely in the, if this was created as a world of fantasy, it wasn't created for the intent of historical accuracy, then, I mean, the book might have been written in that lane. I don't know. I ain't never read these books.
No, I think they were changed. I'm looking at it now just to see.
I think for representation's sake, she made. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, it's a simple, I think, because I read The Hunger Games, Rue was Black. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just times are different. And when The Hunger Games was shot, like, because even, like, I want to say, didn't, like, J.K. Rowling, like, float the idea that Hermione was supposed to be Black? Like, she just said that in a tweet.
In the book, she said she wrote
it. She said it in a tweet, but Everybody's like, there's nothing in the book to suggest that she was Black. No, you just like throwing this out because, like, you know, the same way that Band-Aid want to make Black Band-Aids now. Like, that's but like in Hunger Games, Rue was Black. So people being mad that she was Black, I just think it was like they probably didn't read the books. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the same way like we're all watching Bridgerton. I don't feel like the majority of the people who watched Bridgerton even heard of this author. Absolutely. To begin with, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and so I think that just because of the time of when Bridgerton aired on Netflix, it just being so Netflix got a whole Black section, like, check here if you want to watch Black shit. And I think that that's just where we is, and so like people is not, like, they're more accepting of it a little bit more probably.
That's fair. I wouldn't want to, you know, live in that time for the same reason you said, Cookie, and some of the other reasons. They were doing too much with them clothes, like squeezing into them, wearing several layers. There was just too many people in the house. You wake up somebody there, you bathe in somebody, like, just leave me alone for a little bit. They had no quiet time. It just seemed really superficial and boring. But there's a lot of issues that are covered in this series. Some people feel that they were heavy topics that weren't handled very well. But I just pulled a few of the topics that I thought would be relevant and were kind of powerful that I want to discuss. The first one, I just want to discuss briefly, we already touched on it, the whole concept of sexism and how the women are, you know, basically just property that are made for marriage and bearing an heir. But one thing that I really noticed was this whole concept of sexual purity of women equaling their value. So much so to the point that the women were completely ignorant of all things concerning sex. Yeah. Did y'all notice that?
Yeah, I was so perturbed. I was like, so, you know, like when the girl was pregnant, that was like, oh, she has a condition. And the girl was like, yeah, love is how I got this way. I was like,
no, or she was just like, wait, how do you have a baby? She was like, I thought you had to be married to have a baby. And they were like, and she didn't know what sex was and how you came about it and, you know, what sperm was and how you got pregnant. And I was like, I felt some kind of way about that. Did y'all have any thoughts concerning that portion of how, like, the women were beyond damsel in distress? They were just kind of like there.
Mm-mm. I mean, that seemed appropriate,
like, for the times, you're saying.
Mm-hmm. No,
that is not.
I thought it was satire. I didn't think it was real.
Really?
I mean, like, I thought that it was an exaggeration to drive home the point. I didn't think that they were actually saying that women were actually that ignorant in that time period. I don't think that's true.
There wasn't any other parts of it that I would consider satirical, so why would that have been?
Just when I watched it, I didn't take it to be reality.
Yeah, I watched it as her. It came off to me that that's how they're trying to depict the women of that time. And I was like, that doesn't seem fitting. And that's just really far.
I just don't think that's true. Not only do I watch period pieces, I have read so many books, like historical fiction, but that are very historically accurate. And I just don't, this is the first thing that I have ever watched where women are portrayed as being completely ignorant to, if you're not married, then, because there are unmarried women who have children and it ruins them. It's a scandal. Like, these things happen. So to believe that you have to be married to get, I mean, like that.
Well, no. I didn't think that. Like, because I think Penelope was the one, but she was supposed to be like a child, wasn't she? So, like, that's why I assume that, okay, that's.
No, because that was her coming out season. She wasn't a kid.
No, Penelope was, it was not her coming out season. Penelope, the one with the little pigtails?
Yeah, she was, that was supposed to be her coming out. She wanted to push it back a year.
Yeah, she was supposed to be.
All three of them came out the same year.
Yeah. I missed that.
That was like the one.
So my thing was not that they didn't know that you could not be married and have sex or whatever, but like, do I think that like they all knew the inner workings of, no, I don't, because like, I mean, the same is still true today to some extent. A lot of girls don't know the extent of sex when they are in this overly protective environment where they aren't exposed to certain things. Like, I think that even the currency of purity of girls is still a thing. Like, I think it would be even worse back then when there's a greater control of information and the information is able to slip through to people. Am I saying that once they're like, oh, entering into, I didn't know that Penelope was in her coming out season.
Yeah.
But if they're in their season of coming out and like being on the marriage market, then yes, I would expect that they know some inkling of how sex works or whatever. But like the overall like purity of women and purity of girls, and like if you've had sex or you've even like thought of or been around it or whatever, yeah, like you are going to be less desirable.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think that that is true. Yes, absolutely. I think that is true.
Yeah, the level of ignorance, I do think, was exaggerated. Yeah.
That sex creates a baby, I don't think that's real.
Yeah. Because Daphne just seemed beyond innocent. It wasn't just innocent. It was like, you're daft. And maybe you're right. Maybe that was just, you know.
But she knew how to get a baby. She just didn't know exactly, like, what needed to happen to have a baby. Like, I think she didn't know that she knew sex produced a baby, but she didn't know like that the ejaculation inside of you is what created the baby.
She was irritating to me and I just had a problem, but I understand that that was in that time, but seeing it depicted was really irritating, and to see how that's still a thing today is irritating. Next topic that was talked about, racism, or race rather. Race, and we're gonna get to that. So a quote that the senior Duke of Hastings, who is Simon's daddy, said was, "We have been granted this line, the because he was the Duke of Hastings. We have been granted this line. The monarchy itself has declared it, but it will only remain ours so as long as we remain extraordinary." So here's my issue with this, a lot of the topics that were, you know, thrown out there in this show. They threw it out there. They throw a quote like that. That's like, boom. You could do a lot with that. And then they did nothing for real with it. They didn't really like unpack it or nothing. You present this opportunity to talk about Black excellence and this constant need for it in Black communities across the world, but you don't really do nothing with it. But to that point, and the whole narrative of the Duke of Hastings and their lineage, I wanted to talk a little bit about Black excellence and how it's translated in that time and currently. Like, what are y'all thoughts on that quote and when he said it in the show? Do y'all remember when he said that in the show?
Mm-mm. Well, vaguely.
Yeah, he was talking about... No, it was when he like when he went to Simon was a kid and he was trying to get him to talk and he started stuttering and he basically was that retort like, we can't keep it in the line because you're an imbecile. Like, you are not good enough to carry this line because you stutter.
Gotcha. I mean, okay, but in terms of, like, in talking about Black excellence, I didn't see no Black excellence. What did they do other than have titles? Like,
and that was the origin of that time period. Like, I mean, not saying none of the people who were monarchs did anything, but literally all you had to do was be born into the right family or marry into another family. And that was what was portrayed as quote unquote excellence.
Well, in this case, when he's saying they were granted and they had to remain extraordinary, there was something that they had to specifically do to keep on their title that was different than their white counterparts, though.
He wanted the boy to talk. Like, what did he have to do that was extraordinary?
Well, he clearly is defining that as extraordinary. What would you be like? Oh, okay, yeah, they actually doing some excellent to uphold this
title. I have no idea because I did not see any of it in the show. Like, I mean, I just didn't. Nah.
Mm-mm. Okay, do y'all feel like the Black characters were enough representation?
I don't understand the need for representation. Like, you don't have to go make up history for me to feel represented. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need that. Like, if you're creating a modern day show, then okay. Or if you're shining light on something that was real, then I think I could grasp inspiration or, I could grasp something from that would make me see like, oh, okay, perhaps this is a symbol of greatness in Black history. But like, I mean, you just making stuff up. You ain't really gotta do that for me. So it was more than enough representation because I done watched hella movies, hella shows, and it wasn't there and I wasn't looking for it and I'm not gonna be looking for it in the future. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
and then even seeing them with their titles and being the Duke, I was just like, this isn't reality. This would never happen. What is this doing for me? I was shocked when I saw them Black people in the thing. And I was like, oh, girl, you at the ball and you ain't holding no tray? That shocked me. But I didn't expect, like, them to move me or impact me.
And personally, I would have preferred for them to just be there without commentary. Like, because my thing is like, this could have been like a Hamilton where you got George Washington is Black or whoever was Black. I don't know the character, but folks is Black and they just Black and they just...
Everybody's Black.
They're just there. Like, and it's almost like, oh, and I'm not saying that because I'm pretty sure... Lin-Manuel did this specifically for a reason, but it's almost like they're just there because they're the best that we audition. You know what I mean? Because it's not with commentary, but I'm pretty sure Lin-Manuel was intentional about picking Black characters. But in this, it could have been the same thing. Like, we're not going to, and I would have been fine with that. Like, we're not going to comment on this, but you don't, like, this line, I didn't remember this line. I do remember a line that the Duke says, his son says, at some point about, we have this fleeting moment and in any moment they can take it away from us or something like that. And then the comment about how the Black people actually became in royalty. I can think of three lines that were mentioned and that wasn't even in the first episode. So like when I'm seeing the first episode, the second episode, maybe the third episode is when these lines get dropped in, maybe, but we've gone two episodes with Black people just around and there's no commentary on it. And I was like, oh, I can rock with this. But then when you start to throw in this race aspect of it and it's just a fleeting comment, like, oh, the king fell in love with a Black woman and he married her. Okay,
and then everybody was just okay with it. Yeah. What? Like,
that, I was like, cool.
Ain't no way in hell everybody just gonna be okay with the king, man. You saw what happened with Prince Harry that married a black girl. That he wasn't even in line for real to be become the king or nothing. Ain't no way they just was like, okay, the king done married a, okay. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Yeah. Especially
so, like, just don't comment on it. Just have the black people around and just like, oh, okay, whatever. He was just the best at audition and we just gonna have him without comment.
Yeah, especially when like the main black characters are of the lighter hue. Like, and all your darker black characters are servants or in the background or have no kind of leading role. Like the closest one would have been the guy that was boxing with the Duke of Hastings, but the people that were Jared likes that guy. All the people that were like, and I went back watching, looking for it, that were darker toned, were like the queen's servants or
the couple that was a friend. That was a friend of the.
I mean, they were at the ball, but it was just like, oh, you're in the quarter over there.
Yeah, but they're not like, servants. They're still like in the marriage scene, and like,
and even like the women that were on her court, I didn't think they were servants.
On whose court?
The queen's court.
Oh, the queen's court. Yeah,
they were servants because there's that scene where she was like bathing, and they're like bathing her, and the other lady comes and brings in the Whistledown's newest letter or whatever. Like, they were serving her.
I mean, but the lady is not a servant. Yeah. They are still like
they wait on her.
That's a privilege to be a part of her court, but that's you not like.
You're not the help, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You are still nobility who is serving at the pleasure of the queen, but you not a servant.
Okay.
And the Duke auntie, her godmama, whoever she was brown skin.
She was still a little light. I mean, she was curly. She was caramel. She was caramel.
She was brown.
I don't think she was dark. She was caramel.
And his daddy was sure enough dark.
That's true. His daddy was dark. His daddy was dark. But his dad was trash.
But she was a few shades lighter than him. She was not light.
Mm. Do y'all think that the series thus far has handled the issue of race well?
I just don't think the series has any obligation to handle the issue of race.
I don't think they should have said nothing.
But they have. They didn't go the route of Roger and Ebert's Cinderella, where everybody named Mama. Is it Roger?
Hammerstein.
Who is Ebert? The critique guys. Where they had Cinderella at. Everybody was just like, "Ain't no way y'all came from this mama and daddy."
They never said anything.
They didn't
talk about it. But the fact that they did, no, they because they've only done three lines of it. Like, no, at this based off of the level of what they've done, they shouldn't have said nothing. They should have been at a Roger Hammerstein.
But I think maybe they should have or shouldn't have or whatever, but. I'm not saying I don't think they should have. I'm saying I don't think they have an obligation to just because they have black characters. So if they say one line or they say 100 lines about it, they have no obligation to. So have they said enough? Sure. I think they've said more than they had to.
Hmm.
I mean,
they said more than they had to, too.
They're not saying they said more than they should have. They're saying more than they had to.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
All right, moving right along. Power of Unforgiveness. So Simon's character hates his daddy, rightfully so. His dad was trash and treated him like trash. When you tell your child that they are the worst failure of your life, that's that's a bit harsh. But you know, I thought it was really powerful piece in terms of how strong Simon was willing to hold on to that bitterness that he had towards his dad and that unforgiveness and the vow he made, and how essentially it was really more of a one-edged sword that was hurting him more than others. But speaking to that, like, what are your thoughts concerning, and what I'm talking about is him vowing to never to stop the throne or the lineage from carrying on beyond himself by not having any kids. Or your thoughts on that in terms of like the power of unforgiveness and how that negatively impacts an individual more than it does the person that they're not willing to forgive. Did y'all even think about that? Or?
I mean, I just watched it and was like, he crazy. Cause
yeah, I thought that was like,
if that's you did lot. I mean, like, but I don't know. I think that some people think that I have extreme views in this area. So let me just preface this with that. But I'm a firm believer that once somebody is deceased, that sounds like a nicer word. Once someone's deceased, like, you gone. You know what I mean? Like, you are either eternally rejoicing with the Lord or you are not. But either way, you are no longer really a concern for me, low-key, in the natural. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, well, what were their wishes? TBH, I don't think your wishes matter if you're not here no more. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I don't. Like, so, I mean... okay, so even if I choose to say something spiteful like that to you to make you miserable in your last few minutes of life, like, I'm not actually about to deprive myself of happiness in life after you're gone, because what? You're gone. Like, you ain't here no more. So it don't really matter what I told you. Or not, like, it don't matter.
But there are people who legitimately live their lives like that. Like, they think that they are hurting the other person by doing... I agree. I thought that was absolutely insane. Like, what? Like, your dad... Like, even before we found out that his daddy was dying, I was just like, that's stupid. But there are people who do that, who are like, I am going to ruin you, even if you're dead or alive. And they're not thinking about the negative implications on themselves and the people around them that they love or care about them.
I too was at a loss for words and a loss of understanding and a loss of just the man died. He gone. You got, honestly, now I ain't gonna lie. I might have would have said something to that nigga on his deathbed to make him like take them last little breaths and be like, "Oh," but like, I probably would have did it. I ain't gonna lie, because he was terrible.
Yeah.
But what happens afterwards? Like, that ain't nothing. I mean, he gone.
He don't know what's happening. He don't know if the lineage continues.
He gone. If I feel so inclined, I might change my kid's last name. Can you do that? I don't know if you could have did that back then.
I
would have figured out something if I'm that inclined, but I am not gonna like halt my life to like allow this. No, but I would have said something to him in them last couple breaths, especially the satisfaction of watching him like gasping because he couldn't believe it. Oh yeah, baby.
And I was like, boy, that vow is not going to hurt. He gone. That vow is not. You sitting over here. Oh, I can't. Don't live your life.
Yeah. But people hold tight to unforgiveness. Like it's, yeah, unnecessary.
I think people hold tight to unforgiveness. And I think people hold tight to just promises made to people who ain't here no more.
Yeah.
Honestly, like,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, that's real.
Again, yeah. Like, my views may be extreme. Like, okay, I may lay out what I want for my funeral, but at the end of the day, baby, I ain't gonna be here. So if y'all want to do that, don't do that. Like, I'm eternally rejoicing with the Lord. I don't care.
She said she wanted six dev released at 3:05 p.m.
I mean, like, who cares? Like, even when I had a conversation with my parents and they were talking about like what they want to be done with their organs or their body after they die, and I'm just like, okay, you can tell me this, but honestly, you're not gonna be here, and I'm gonna make whatever decision I'm gonna make. Like, thank you for telling me, but at the end of the day, like, you're not gonna be here.
clearly, Dre, don't tell Dre nothing. She ain't respecting none of our wishes. I mean, here we go.
You're gone.
It's the principle.
She's like, I don't know how many times I can say it. I'm not all the way where Dre is, but I'm pretty close. Like, of because realistically, like, there's no way for you to know. What you gonna do? Haunt me? Like, there's nothing you can do. There's literally nothing you can do, and you ain't even gonna know. So, guess what? If this is an inconvenience to me, I mean, you know, I ain't all the way there, but I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close.
That's crazy. Last point, gotta touch on this. On one end, you see the power of unforgiveness and how, you know, Simon was, Duke of Hastings, was drinking this poison that was essentially robbing him of joy. But on the other side, you see the power of love and words that in different seasons of his life specifically pulled him out of dark spots and a you know, terrible path that he could have been on. So I'm going to ask this question. Do y'all feel that love, because in the case with Lady Danbury, when he was a kid, she spoke life into that man. Like, you can speak. I will help you with this stutter. And you will walk into rooms and captivated in the manner that you ought to. The line was way more powerful than that, but she was basically saying, like, you will be great. And then with Daphne, her basically just saying, like, our love is enough for you to make the decision to have kids and not go down this line that you're going of holding on to unforgiveness. So the question is, do you believe that love is truly enough?
For?
To break people out of dark spaces? To cause somebody to forgive again? How is depicted in the show? To cause someone to renounce a vow, to cause someone to walk into their greatness, to Lady Danbury, like, says, we were two separate society divided by color until a king fell in love with one of us.
And I just saw bullshit on that.
All is well. So no. Is love able to do all that?
No. Listen, now I'm gonna the vow piece that he made to his daddy. Now, maybe because he also made a vow to his wife. Well, I can't remember what their vows was, but you know,
yeah, he did.
It's competing vows, you know. So I don't know. But in terms of getting over unforgiveness, no, Daphne's love cannot, unless you done did some introspection within yourself. And you done sat down and dealt with some healing? No, Daphne telling you that, you know, we can make it through. Okay, yeah, y'all might get pregnant, because he's like, in this moment that, because I feel like shortly after is when they, in the midst of the conversation, then they went to have sex and then whatever. Yeah.
Which he was technically intoxicated, so there's a whole conversation on that piece, but that way
No, I'm talking about after she had the conversation, they weren't intoxicated then. So yes, that part. But what I'm saying is, yeah, okay, that might have been overpowering in the moment, and you like, oh yeah, she's riding with me, blah 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 blah, and we gonna do this and we gonna have a kid, but after that kid come, or even during the pregnancy and all that, no, that's not a happily ever after. That man still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
like, no, that is not the end of the story. So no, I don't think that love is maybe it could start the process, but it's not the only thing that you need from, no, that's
okay.
I agree. I mean, I think love is a component, but is love sure enough? Absolutely not. Because even with, what was her name? The dark skin lady that you saying, dark skin?
Lady Danbury.
Even with Lady Danbury, I mean, like, he needed some love, but he also needed some speech therapy.
Attention and work.
Unless she could love him all day, but she would be loving him with that stutter if they ain't put in some work. So love is not enough. No. You need some love and some work. Like, it's a component, but it ain't everything.
Yeah. I agree. Love can help, but love is not the, because that was a great example, Dre. He would have still been over that. Mm-hmm. She would have loved him to death.
You ain't even have to do that though, Camille. We know what a study is. You ain't have to throw it out for us. But yeah, I agree. And that was one of the things that, like, I love me a good, you know, romantic comedy or romance and stuff. And a lot of times it's unrealistic. But that piece for me was just like, this is an over exaggeration of love. Like, it cannot accomplish all of this. This is so, like, unrealistic in this manner. But to that, with the unforgiveness, there are people who legitimately, like, hold on to that too. Like, I'm gonna just love you until you stop being trash. I'm gonna love you until you heal yourself, or what, or I heal, my love heals you. And I think people get into really toxic relationships when you go into a relationship believing that love is enough. It ain't.
Like that woman who waited 14 years to be proposed to.
Was it? I thought it was longer than that. Was it like 20 something?
I don't know.
Yeah. It was like 25 years. And that man proposed. 25 years.
And I remember it was like, yeah, when that song came out, they were saying they had been together for like 14 years at that point. When, baby, let's get married.
Yeah, leave me at the altar. Yeah,
they were saying when that song came out, yeah, they had already been together for over a decade.
Oh, and then this man proposed to her on another airplane. Love it. No.
She said love is enough.
And you see what she got. It's going to be another 15 years before they actually get married, if they do.
I mean, if love was all she wanted, then maybe love was enough for her.
Well, maybe, you know, that's a word, Drea. You be dropping gems, Drea. But any final thoughts about Bridgerton? Should our viewers check it out, yay or nay?
Wait. We got to pause and take a time out on this, because it can't not be mentioned.
What?
Daphne basically raped that man. Like,
I had that sexual assault piece on there. I didn't know who. You want to go there? That's a.
Wait, when she like made him ejaculate in her?
Yeah. When. She assaulted him.
If that was a man that was like forcing an ejaculation in a woman who was very clear that that's not what she wanted. Mm-hmm. That would be a conversation.
Yeah, you don't pull out when we've decided you will. That's a violation.
Absolutely. Y'all feel differently? I'm shocked.
Anything?
I'm thinking.
Camille, what you got? You look like you in opposition.
I didn't rewatch this scene.
You should. They were getting it in. She took advantage of the situation and was on top, and he was intoxicated. I mean, he was clearly in the moment, and he was like, "What are you doing?" And then she stayed on until he ejaculated, and then got mad because she realized what he was doing.
Yeah, so I think it's complicated, and I think this show is not the show to even have this conversation.
Yes,
like, to even 100%. Have to that, because it was a whole story. She was trying to figure out whether or not this man could have kids, first of all. And so she had to go and figure out and do research, like a reconnaissance mission, to figure out what needs to happen before she did that. So this is all complicated. Like, she's trying to figure out whether or not he actually can have kids. Yeah. But at the same time, he doesn't want to do what she made him do.
Yeah.
It is layered and it's complex, but like...
I agree. Bridgerton shouldn't have been the one that was carrying all this conversation, but she definitely sexually assaulted that man.
Yeah,
it was definitely a line crossed, for sure.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we, you know, mention that, because, you know, it
happened. Dre, we're going to circle back. You got your thoughts together now, or still about that? Okay. So to my question before, should the listeners watch Bridgerton? Yay or nay? Cookie?
I mean, I guess. don't believe the hype. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Camille?
Yes, I think you should watch it and form your own opinion.
Okay. Drea?
I think if you're into period pieces, then yes, I guess you should watch it. If you're not, well, if you like period pieces, you should watch it. If you want to like period pieces, you should watch it. If there are other things on Netflix that you would rather watch, watch them. I mean, really. Because if I'm like someone who doesn't like period pieces and I'm not actually trying to get into it, it's hella other shows on Netflix.
That's fair. That's funny, but that's fair. For me, I say, you know, don't watch it, but like you said, don't have high expectations, especially if you are a fan of period pieces. Don't come into it thinking it's going to be like a Downton Abbey. It's not.
Or if you're a fan of Gossip Girl, don't come in it with that either.
It's not.
Just watch Gossip Girl.
It just
took it off, though, honestly.
Oh, dang.
Oh, wow. Because I was just about to say, I want to watch that. It is the Taco Bell of period pieces, honestly, based on what I've seen. So just kind of go in thinking, you know, it's all right, and be either pleasantly surprised or be it confirmed that it's all right for you. But we hope this conversation was good and that you took some things out of it, and that if you choose to watch it, that you enjoy it. And if you choose not to watch it, there are a plethora of other things on Netflix and Hulu and just basic level TV that you could watch instead of it. But we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.